Starting anew, I want us to think about what it would be like to just start anew, to start fresh. What if all of us were new Christians? What if all of us were new Christians? What would we do differently? What would we want to do immediately? What would we want to do right now, today, with excitement? You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Let's be brand new salt right out of the shaker. Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. We want our light to shine. We want the light of Locust Grove Church to shine in this community. We're getting a good start with Bible school this week. We'll be shining. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. Well, how are we going to shine? How are we going to do that? We have to ask that question sometimes. Well, we want to do whatever he wants us to do. And if, or I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Now, these are the words of Jesus. And I think sometimes we forget what Jesus said. Not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear. And we always make such a big deal that we're not under law, but we're under grace. But this is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, not the smallest detail of the law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. And we talked a few weeks ago about the fact that one of those purposes is for all the people who have not yet found Christ, if they have a moral outlook, and many do, then the law helps guide them. And that is a huge purpose of the law. And yet, as Christians, we just want to throw it aside. And yet, if we really want to be pleasing in God's sight, we will do that which fulfills the law as well. And because of the law of Christ, basically is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then you will obviously fulfill the law. But we want to just jettison so much of that. And other than the sacrificial system and the dietary things, Christ never did do that. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. Another reason why we should be educated in the whole of Scripture. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Romans 3:20. Now here is the other side that is so important with Christians. Nobody can keep the law fully. And if you cannot keep the law fully, then you have missed the mark. That's what sin means, to miss the mark. Okay, so we needed a Savior to come to pay the price so that we could be redeemed. He purchased our redemption. He purchased for us a means by which we could have complete fellowship once again with God. Jesus took care of that. So the only way we can have that relationship with God is to accept the provision of Christ's salvation. The law can't do that for us, but it points out the truth that we've missed the mark. And so it plays an important part in how humanity is to live. And it plays an important role in the Christian's life, reminding us that no, we are not wonderful, self-righteous, perfect people. Well, how familiar are we with God's whole word? For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. For simpletons turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency, but all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, 29 through 33. Now, I've stated to you many times before, it's good practice. It's been done in the United States for many, many, many years, ever since our founding and before. Many people would make a practice of reading through the book of Proverbs every month. There's 31 chapters, so you get a little extra in February. But if you read through the book of Proverbs every month, you have amazing wisdom that is being imparted to you, and it's wisdom from God. People all over the country still do this. Businessmen do this because it gives them great wisdom in how to conduct their lives and how to run their businesses. It covers so many different subjects. How well do we know the Word of God? And then Christ talked about the law and the prophets. Well, are we reading the prophets? That's another big section of the Old Testament. Are we reading it? Of course, the first five books, the Pentateuch, give you history and they give you law. So it really helps you. Great advice, you'll find it. Is it relevant to today? I already told you, businessmen to this day still read the book of Proverbs every month because it's very relevant and it's very timely. You read certain things in the scripture and you think, my goodness, this came from the front page of the newspaper today. All right, it is always relevant. It is always timely. Well, let's go back of many thousand years. Let's review Noah's story from 5,000 BC. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. That's saying a lot. The only man on earth who walked closely with God. So what does God decide to do? He does a do-over. He decides, nope, it's time. Everything's messed up on the earth. Other than Noah and his family, I'm going to bring a flood. And I'm going to destroy basically all life on earth. And we're going to start over. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them, being man, and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. That's an amazing statement from God. Because God's love is shown throughout the scripture. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And he says, nope, it's gotten too bad. I'm going to start over. So he tells Noah. It was a good thing Noah was a very devout man who walked closely to God, because Noah got to work on a boat for over 100 years. I don't know if I would have that kind of patience. He's told to build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out, then construct decks and stalls throughout its interior. God's grace was shown even then. Behold, I, and this is God speaking, am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish, Genesis 6:17. Now, I made a copy of something in one of my Bibles that shows you the unbelievable size of this ark. You see that little stick figure to the left there? That's the human being. And then there's an elephant, and then there's a semi-truck. And then you have the ark. That's how big it is. An ark built to the dimensions specified in Genesis would have been immense. Its ratio of length to width, which is 6:1, is the most stable known and is used for the design of modern tankers and freight hauling ships. The ark was able to carry 20,000 tons of cargo. The required number of young adult land animals would have occupied less than half of the available space. The design given was perfect for the ark's function. Think about that. I'm sure that humankind, through a lot of engineering and trial and effort, came up with the 6:1 ratio. But all they would have had to do was read Genesis and figured out what the ratio was, width to length, and they would have had what the engineers then came up with. Because, of course, God is the great engineer. He made everything. Well, what about us today? As fallen humans, are we any better today than those in Noah's time? You know, here I just sketched out a little timeline. Noah is 5,000 B.C., all right? So everything before Noah, God said, this has become so corrupt, I'm going to wipe the life from the face of the earth. But there's 3,000 years as the rest of the world is populated, as all the world is populated from Noah's family. And you have Abraham then, the one that God chose to call, and from Abraham will come his chosen people, the Israelites. Moses comes along 500 years later, and Moses is the lawgiver. He gives the law, which, as we have already seen, points out to us that we have missed the mark, that we are sinners. And then you have David, probably Israel's greatest king. I mean, you can say as far as military and monetary things, that would be Solomon. But David was the one that laid the foundation for everything. David was the one who did not, he was known as the man after God's own heart, even though he missed the mark in great ways. Most of you know the story of Bathsheba and David. It's not a good tale. But you also know the story of David and Goliath. Great adventure story. And it's amazing what you can do with a stone about the size of a baseball, okay, put in the right hands. But then God decided, okay, they need to know more of me more completely so they can really see my heart, know my character. And he sent Jesus Christ. He sent his own son, who is God. God became man. He took on human flesh. He lived his life as a human being, except he never missed the mark. He never sinned. He was a perfect human being. But that meant he was the perfect sacrifice, which was necessary for us to be redeemed, for our sin price to be paid, so we could have a relationship once again with God. Everyone is sinned. Everyone. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. If we could have kept the law perfectly, sacrifice wouldn't have been needed. But no one can do that. Nobody. So he sent Christ so one human being could do that. But that human being was also God. Although I want you to understand, he lived a perfect human life as a human being, because he separated himself from his God-like abilities. Everything Christ did, all the miracles he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is available to us this very day. That's very important. So Christ lived completely as a human being. But he had a wonderful relationship, obviously, with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And he had depended upon them to strengthen him as a human being to live the perfect life. If he had not promised, or if he had not sent his son, can you imagine what it would be like? Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. That is God to Noah. Genesis 9:11. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Those are two amazing things. God says, okay, I did it once, I'm not going to do it again. At least not with water. Okay. And then he says, though, I am going to provide a perfect way for you to come back to me. And it was made available to all humanity, all who lived before Christ's coming and all who would live after Christ's coming. We can all find salvation through Christ Jesus. Part of his ministry while in the grave was going to Sheol, where those that had died before could hear the gospel and choose or not choose to accept Jesus Christ. God is perfectly just. And he's all these wonderful things, love, merciful, forgiving, but he's also perfectly righteous, holy, just. And both sides of God are always present. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. We didn't deserve his kindness. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for. And you know what I want you to do mentally right now? Put in there my, for my sin. God did that for you. He did it for me. He did it for every human being who's ever walked the earth. But it's quite personal. Because I will not stand before God on judgment day with any of the rest of you. I'll stand there by myself. And either I will be able to say, oh, thank you, God, that you presented Jesus as a sacrifice for my sin. Or I won't be able to say it. And I don't want that to happen to anybody else. Understanding law and grace. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's law and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I think it's very important that the church and those that are called into full-time Christian ministry do this absolutely. But it's not happening all over the United States today, even in places called churches. And then in Matthew 5:20, Jesus says, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Pharisees were all about keeping the law, but they couldn't do it. They're human beings too. They could not do it. And Jesus is saying, as an illustration, you see these guys over here? They do everything in their power to keep the law, and they fail. And I'm telling you, unless your own righteousness is greater than that of the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. The law gives us good direction, but the law cannot save us. We don't get to heaven by doing what is good and right. Our righteous acts are as filthy rags. They don't measure up. That's why Christ had to come. That's why Christ lived a perfect life. That is why Christ died a sacrificial death. And that is why he kicked death in the teeth, stole took back, reclaimed the keys of death, and he provides eternal life for all who place their trust in him. That's the great good news. And you know what? When we bring it all, it's talking about all the junk, all the stuff you don't want to hold on to anyway. And God will take that. He's already paid the price for it. Price has been paid. All we have to do is appropriate this gift of salvation. And it's ours. It's a free gift.